This morning, our scripture reading is 1 John chapter 1 to verse 1 to 4. Pew Bible page number 1210. Before we read God's word, please pray once again. The God of truth, we are about to listen to your voice. This is your very voice who can change us, who can revive us. Oh Lord, with you there is the fountain of life. In thy light we see light. Lord, show us your glory. Show us your life. Show us your light. In it may we rest. In it may we glorify you. Go with us this very morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. As you see, we are not going through the Proverbs. That's because this preaching is very personal, as you know. This is my last preaching as the intern. And so when I'm thinking about, my last preaching is coming, then what shall I preach? So I already put aside the Proverbs. But it didn't take a long time to choose the topic, because for all of us, except for God, there's nothing more important than eternal life, right? I mean, if there's no such thing, eternal life, why do we waste our time in the morning, in the early morning, in the church? But the thing is, the Bible teaches us there is eternal life, and that's why we are here. But as a Christian, we often talk about eternal life a lot, and we use the term. But when your children or your grandchildren come to you and ask, what is eternal life? Then what is your answer? We are so familiar with the term eternal life, but what is the teaching of the Bible concerning eternal life? Does eternal life simply means a everlasting, immortal life, or something more than that? So from our text, I want to show you eternal life is the life with the triune God. Eternal life is the life with God. So in order to get there, from verse 1 and 2, we will see eternal life explained, and verse 3 and 4, eternal life examined. So eternal life explained and examined. But before we jump into verse 1, let me just briefly set up the tone or the foundation of the letter of 1 John. The Apostle John wrote this letter to comfort Christians who were wounded by false teachers. Like, for instance, chapter 2, verse 26 says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, false teacher. Or chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. One fatal wound that John's sheep, John's people had was that they were not confident in their eternal life. They didn't have the assurance of salvation because of the false teaching from outside of the church. That's why John is writing, and probably John chapter 1 John chapter 5 verse 13 is the summary of the purpose of the letter. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So the main purpose of the letter is very clear. John wants to teach that his sheep, his people, have eternal life. Now, we jump into verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So John begins his letter with explaining the word of life. So he have seen, he have heard, and he have looked upon and even touched the word of life. Then what would the word of life be? Jesus Christ. The Apostle John listened to the voice of Jesus Christ. He heard the teaching of Jesus Christ. Even he have seen Jesus' body, Jesus' ministry, Jesus' miracles, his cross, his resurrection, and even he touched Jesus' resurrected body. But I want you to remember the term in the middle, we looked upon, the term looked upon. The Greek term looked upon means a searching gaze, like carefully, steadfastly looking something. It is the language of love. I don't know you have ever done this, but when you read the Gospel of John and just focus on Jesus' saying, like red letters, and then compare 1 John, then you can see lots of parallel between Jesus' speaking and John's speaking. Almost it seems like the Apostle John imitates what Jesus says and how he says. The Apostle John loved Jesus so much, and he wants to mimic everything about our Savior. The Apostle John in this letter had the heart of Jesus Christ. And with that heart, he do the ministry for our Savior. Then why did our Savior reveal? Verse 2, the life was made manifest. We have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life. Jesus Christ revealed himself to show eternal life. Then what is eternal life? Continues. Which was with the Father. So eventually we are going to hit the point that the eternal life is the life with the triune God. But at this point, John teaches us eternal life is the life with God the Father. And that's what Jesus Christ showed in his life, isn't it? Jesus Christ always walks with the Father, always lives in the Father. So that's why he prayed so much. And even before he went to the cross, he prayed like this, John 17, verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence. Jesus was ready to die in the presence of God the Father. So far we have seen eternal life is the life with God the Father. But when we're thinking about eternal life, I'm wondering some of you this morning struggle with the reality of death, right? Maybe in your mind, you often think, what if there's nothing after death? No soul, no body, no consciousness? That's such a scary thinking, right? But before you play with that imagination, ask yourself, is my thinking biblical? Is my thinking matches? Does my thinking matches with what God says? The answer is no. What is eternal life? The life with God. If we have the life with God here, we will continue to have the life with God there, right? But I know one of the main reasons that we often struggle with the assurance of salvation is something like, yeah, I know, I trust Jesus Christ, He's my Savior. But what if I die, God the Father or God still is angry at me? I know I believe Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I keep sinning. And what if God is going to punish me throughout eternity? If you struggle with the assurance of salvation this morning, please turn your Bible, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, from verse 18. Our Savior is talking to us. John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And notice verse 20. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. My friends, do you know what we sometimes miss? We sometimes separate God the Father and the Son. We sometimes forget that God the Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, are one God. What did our Savior just say in verse 20? In that day you will know that I'm in my Father and you in me. Then what is the logical conclusion? Jesus' Father is my Father. Jesus God is my God. That's why after he resurrected, he said to Mary, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Jesus is not trying to separate my God and your God. Jesus wants us to know we have one God, one Father in Jesus. So the eternal life is the life with God the Father in Jesus Christ. If you struggle with the reality of death, we boldly quench the fire of doubt. We follow Jesus Christ step by step. He died, he resurrected, he ascended to heaven, the place where God the Father dwells. And we will follow him. If Jesus' Father is my Father, then I will be where Jesus is. If Jesus is resurrected, then I'm going to be resurrected. If Jesus is with the Father, then I'm going to be with the Father. Heaven is the place where God dwells. Heaven is the place where Jesus is, and I'm going to be there. We believe Jesus Christ, not for the sake of heaven, but we need heaven because we want Jesus. Jesus is the goal. He's not the means, right? So in Jesus Christ, your eternal life with the Father is secured. Take the comfort from that. And don't separate your God. Your God is one. If your God is God the Father, he takes care of you. He loves you, and he will continue to do that. So far we have seen the eternal life is explained. Then we move on to verse 3 and see eternal life is examined. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. When you read verse 3, then it sounds like, wait a minute, did John just differentiate himself from his sheep? Like, here's our fellowship and here's your fellowship. And I know my fellowship is with the Father and the Son, and I hope your fellowship is like mine. I think that's what John did. But the tone of that test, that examination, is not doubtful. It's not skeptical. Once again, in John chapter 5, verse 13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. But in Greek, you can translate that, you know that you are having eternal life. So John was confident in his readers, and John knew where they are. But the thing is, they didn't know where they are. They were not confident. Sometimes a good pastor have to talk about a hard thing and let his people examine themselves, even though it's not fun, right? And that's what John is doing. And we continue to see John's pastoral heart in verse 4. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. John was waiting for listening from his sheep by saying that, now I know I have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Now I know where I'm going. In that way, John's joy will be complete. And I recognize if you use King James or New King James, then probably your Bible says your joy may be complete, not our joy. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because the joy of the sheep is the joy of the shepherd, right? So previously, we have seen that eternal life is the life with the Father in the Son. And probably now you heard enough, so you almost memorized, and that's what I want. But as our Savior says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Then that means Jesus Christ is the only way to come to God the Father, to come to eternal life, right? So the life with the Father in the Son is very important. In the Son, in Him, we have eternal life. Then the following question would be, okay, so I can see in Christ is important, then how could I know I'm in Christ? How could I know I have a saving faith in Christ? How could I know I'm united with Jesus Christ? There are many ways to approach to this question, but at least one thing is that when we live according to the Holy Spirit, we could say that I am in Christ. So for instance, Romans 8, verse 13 to 14, Paul said, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So previously, if we talk about the matter of the assurance of salvation between God the Father and the Son, and now we are approaching the same thing a little bit from a different perspective between the Son and the Holy Spirit. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, I know and I have recognized that there are so many different understanding or interpretation, if you will, about the work of the Holy Spirit. But I specifically thinking about a feeling-oriented understanding of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? If I ask you, how do you know you are led by the Holy Spirit, then what is your answer? I'm wondering, some people heard that kind of question, then, okay, so Galatians 5, I have the fruit of the Spirit, and check the list, so I have love, I have joy, I have peace, etc. I agree, I wholeheartedly support that the Holy Spirit uses our emotion, because the Spirit uses our whole person, our mind, will, affection, so that's a good thing. But oftentimes the problem is, we often separate Jesus Christ from the Spirit. As we focus on our feeling, our love, our joy, our peace, we don't think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The main duty, the main work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. If you will, please open one more time John chapter 16 and verse 13 to 15. John chapter 16. From verse 13 to 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. What is truth? Jesus Christ. For He, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify Me, Jesus, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. If we are led by the Holy Spirit, what are we supposed to do? Glorify Jesus. That's simple. This morning we are in the church to worship. Why do you here? Why are you here? Is it just has been a habit throughout your life? Or is it just a family tradition? Or is it for Jesus? Do you desire to glorify Jesus? We are done with Wednesday prayer meeting, but why are we at the prayer meeting? Is it because every Wednesday we have a really good meal? Or is it because Pastor Andrew's teaching on the book of Revelation is so fun and thought-provoking? Or is it because we want to lift up our Savior Jesus Christ as we pray? My friends, I know most of you are older than me, but nevertheless, with all humility, I ask you, what is the point of your life? Why do you live? Why do you exist? Is it for the glory of Christ? Is Jesus the first priority of your life? What did Paul say in Philippians, like chapter 1, verse 21? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. In chapter 3, verse 8, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He lived according to the Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit without doubt. And that was his confession. Can we make the same confession? Can we say that to live is Christ? This morning, if you don't have any interest, if you don't have any tiny bit of desire to glorify Jesus, I'm afraid to say this, but I have to say, maybe you don't have a saving faith because you are not led by the Holy Spirit. Then what you are supposed to do is to repent of your sin, your many sin. You are stealing the glory of Christ from your life. Didn't you profess as a Christian? Didn't you say that Jesus Christ is the Lord, your Lord? Then aren't we supposed to glorify our Savior throughout our life? Right? This morning we read, for the Old Testament reading, we read Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy is the book of Moses' preaching. And that was Moses' last preaching because he was about to die, right? And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20, he said this, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days." My friends, choose life. Choose Jesus. He is your life. He is the length of your days. If we choose Jesus, we will live eternal life with the Father in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that how we often are distracted to glorify God. We often don't glorify God. We often even don't think about our Savior. Oh Lord, we pray, may you forgive us our many sins. Oh Lord, please help us to focus on you, not on anything else. We know that we are supposed to love you more than anything else, even more than ourselves. We trust you. We love you. Not because for the sake of our salvation or heaven, but for the name of Jesus Christ. Heaven is the place where Jesus is, and all those who love him will be there. Not love heaven. Oh Lord, please make us heavenly citizens. Lift up our eyes and make us look to Christ day and night, week by week. When we are in an easy stage of life, or a difficult stage of life, help us hold fast to Christ. Help us obey his voice. But Lord, we are thankful. Because when we are thinking about our own strength, our own ability, there is no possibility to love you, to believe you. How could we do that? We are nothing but sinners. But the Spirit help us. The Spirit leads us. Spirit make us pray, read your word, and have fellowship with one another. In that way, we are edified by you. In that way, we taste the sweet fellowship with the triune God. And when we taste that, we realize that our eternal life already begun on this side of glory. Deepen our fellowship with you. In that way, your name alone be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.